Good morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show, coming to you from New Orleans, with host Tanya Brown. Our episodes span about 20 minutes long to give you just a little pop of magic. So, tune in, take a deep breath, and enjoy.
Good morning. It is January 27th, 2023. It is Friday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Today's episode is brought to you by the Hectic Witches Planner. So let's get your day going with a little magic. Our quote of the day is, "Nothing is worth more than laughter. It is strength to laugh and to abandon oneself to be light," by Frida Kahlo. So what are we drinking today? We are drinking a Sip a Spell Witch's Pie. This is a tea that is sweet. It has like chocolate and caramel flavors. It has rooibos tea, apple pieces, cacao nibs, cinnamon, dark chocolate chips, sugary, pecan flavor, marigolds, caramel, and chocolate flavoring as well. So let's talk a little bit about marigolds. Marigolds are probably one of my favorite flowers in terms of symbology. And once we get into it, you'll probably find out why. So marigolds, let's see. The marigold is an important flower in certain religious ceremonies in Nepal and is used to decorate Hindu temples in India, according to Wikipedia.com. Marigold is considered the flower of the dead in Mexico, where it is used to decorate ancestral altars for Day of the Dead celebrations, which if you watch Coco, there's a lot of marigolds in that movie. After the Spanish invasion, the Aztecs viewed the marigold flower as a symbol of the Spanish invasion and the massacre of their people and destruction of their way of life. In the language of flowers, marigold means pain and grief and signifies a wish to comfort ones who are grieving. Mexican marigold resonates with the energy of the sun, and all types of marigolds can be used as offerings to the dead and decoration for ancestor altars. All right, moving into some headlines. This comes to us from CNN.com. Villa Carpina, the owners of this Italian mansion, say it's haunted by Mussolini family ghosts. Ugh. Weird. Like, how did people find out about this? Sometimes I always wonder, I'm like, how did they find out? And how did CNN find out? So showcasing fascist dictator Benito Mussolini's military uniform, his beloved motorbike, and an iron cradle, and a spooky bedroom mirror, Villa Carpina is clearly a museum unafraid of the dark side of history. But if the ick factor of visiting a place with connections Hitler's wartime ally isn't enough, the owners of this mansion in Italy's northeastern Emilia-Romagna region say that there's also a strong chance of bumping into his ghost. Gross. Why? Why is this like a drawing in factor? Located in Carpina, a tiny district in the city of Forli, the property is rumored to be haunted by several ghosts of the Mussolini family, the late Italian leader included, and locals claim to have proof. Stacked with all sorts of personal objects and artworks that belong to the family, Villa Carpina was the Mussolini family country retreat. Today, the Liberty-style yellowish mansion, also called the House of Memories, lures history buffs and scare seekers. Since it was purchased by an Italian businessman in 2000, its new owners and other invited guests claim to have experienced intense paranormal activities and supernatural happenings, some of which a team of self-proclaimed Ghostbusters says it witnessed and recorded. Quote, this place is alive with their presence. They are still here and we can feel them. They are constantly watching us, says Domenico, the current owner and operator. Ugh, this just feels weird. So they said, after purchasing one of Mussolini's historic uniforms at an auction. Oh, so he's into this. The guy says he took it back to the mansion, spreading it out onto the bed Mussolini shared with his wife, Donna, the same bed in which she died. Quote, that was the day there was a medium with us, and the person felt sick, had to sit down and whispered, he is here. Straight after, the dark shadow of Mussolini's face appeared in the bedroom vanity table mirror and has been there since, as if it were printed on glass. You know what? Pass. No, thank you. No, thank you. Not to sound like overly sensitive or anything, but there's just so many layers here of ick. It's not just like, oh, there's a ghost. But it's like a ghost of like Mussolini. And then the guy bought a uniform at auction. Like, it just sounds like he's into this. And like, this is like a thing for him. And like, I don't know if I really want to. If I don't know, I'm guess, does he rent this? He rent it? Did they say? It kind of sounded like they rent it. Unless I'm just like thinking of something else. It doesn't. Oh, they do tours. So yeah, people definitely come to see this. This is, you know, not for me. Not for me, I think is very easy enough to say. All right, witches. That was gross. Let's throw this over to our moon correspondent.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Friday, January 27th. The waxing crescent moon continues to charge into the fray in Aries today. Here, the moon squares Pluto. We may be doing some navel-gazing today, wondering what it all means. Pluto has the ability to truly show us our place in the world, and sometimes that makes you feel small. It's important to understand that each piece has its place. We all have something to contribute to this crazy thing called life. Pluto is just asking you to examine your contribution and make sure it's worthy. Your daily moon mantra is, yesterday I was clever, so I wanted to change the world. Today I am wise, so I want to change myself. This has been your Daily Moon Mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
Witches are on the go. If we're not balancing home life with work, we're organizing rituals and keeping track of spells. The Hectic Witch's Planner is a journal-style planner that not only helps you keep track of appointments and important dates, but encourages you to plan out your long-term goals, your rituals, and even helps you pause and reflect with journal prompts. This 250-page, 12-month weekly planner is filled with planting guides, holiday information, moon phases, and more, with monthly suggestions to help you try out new witchy things. Full color with bound pages, this is a planner for witches built by some of the busiest witches around. Take charge of your destiny now with the 2022 planner and be on the lookout for the Hectic Witches 2023 planner, available on Amazon.
All right, witches, we are back. So I kind of have a question for everyone listening. I've had a few people reach out, and we've even had like posts on the Facebook group that like kind of show interest in us doing a group get together. And we were going to do like this camping trip, right? Where like certain you know, members of the Patreon could come camping and, you know, do a few little rituals and moments together, and it seemed really simple. However, the space where we could do such a thing is just really inaccessible for a lot of people. It's really far out. It's in the middle of a national forest in a place where like the grocery store is like an hour away. And so we changed that tier. So now that tier gives members the opportunity to come to New Orleans and, you know, spend time in the city and stay with me. And it's a cute little thing. So we changed that. And so since we changed that, we didn't have anything that could like bring us together in a real way. So I had an idea, and I just kind of want to get a feel for if anyone's into this. How would we feel about like a 4-5 day thing where we rent out a giant house and we just like spend the days like doing fun witchy activities and like maybe classes and like ritual? And then, you know, it's in New Orleans, which is easy to get in and out of, you know, travel wise. It's not in the middle of a forest. The only thing is it would obviously be much more pricier than like a camp trip. I was doing the camping thing because I thought it was like really affordable for everybody, but it's just the inaccessibleness of it I don't think works. So I had changed the broom riding tier so that it just gives you an option to come to New Orleans and hang out with me whenever you want. And, you know, you have your, you know, accommodations and stuff like that. So I'm really happy with that, and I'm going to leave it. But I thought we could maybe do something a little more luxe and grand as like a separate thing. And I've thought about it. I have kind of figured out kind of the skeleton of the whole thing. But I do want to get a general temperature check on that. So if that interests anybody or you think that's a fun idea, just let me know. It would be a really small group, like no more than 10 people. And it would be pricey, but I would try to like, you know, do what I can to make it accessible. And it just seems like fun. We can vote on like the activities we you know, that we want to do. And yeah, just kind of let me know if that's something any of you have interest in, or, you know, just a temperature check, because I've gotten a lot of interest in something like that. But as you guys know, my goal is always to try to make things super affordable for everybody. Like, I price my readings really low, and I just try to price things that are like accessible to people, because this world, you know, but this is one of those things that would not be as affordable. So I just want to make sure this is something people would be interested in before I go through the work of, you know, putting something together. But yeah, just let me know. Just let me know. All right, so we have a question from one of our listeners, Maggie. Great name. That's one of my favorite names. I have a lot of favorite names. So hang on. Tangent. Can I share some of my favorite names? Okay. So I have favorite names. I love the name Eleanor. I think it's really pretty. I think you can nickname Elle or Ellie or Nora or like Nell. And then I love Anna. Anna's also one of my favorite names. Maggie is one of my favorite names because, fun fact, based off family tradition, I was supposed to be a Maggie. So I love Maggie. I love Eleanor. I used to really like the name Hollis, but like, it's just over the years, I feel like that's kind of changed a little bit. But I love the name Maggie. I think it's so cool. And I also really love the name Henry and Victor. Okay. Anyways. You are not my friends, and we are not drinking wine over like bread and talking about meaningless stuff. So I apologize, but I'm cold, and that's my excuse. It's cold today. So Maggie says, "Hey everyone, I'm thinking of doing a simmer pot for New Year's Eve to set my intentions and hopes for the year. Kind of fill my home with intentions, if that makes sense. Does anyone have any good simmer pot tips or even best ways to make one? I have some ingredients I'd already like to use, but I've never made one myself." Okay, can I just say, I got really into simmer pots like back in like 2015. And I don't know if like it was a thing in the witch world before then, or if it was and I just stumbled upon it organically on my own. I don't know, but I got really into simmer pots, and I did like a bunch of classes on it, and I wrote about it a lot, and I talked about it, and now it's huge. So I'm not claiming that I brought the simmer pot into the witch world, but I am saying that, like, I feel like I helped in the popularity because I was, because, I had the magazine, so I had eyes and I don't know. Anyways, I've always wondered if, like, I helped with the resurgence of simmer pots. But yes, yeah, so I love a simmer pot. So I would use it, how I would use it again. I don't know how it was used before this, but how I would use it is I would, one, I like to clean my home completely because I feel like simmer pots, it's a great opportunity to really bring in energy and magic into your space, all the little nooks and crannies. And having a clean home, first and foremost, will just help that energy spread. So then you can open up windows and put a pot on your stove, lots of water, fill it up, and then put in your ingredients. Things like orange slices, cinnamon, I think are really good. And I think this also works for New Year's. Maybe some bay leaves are really good as well. Orange cinnamon is always like a great simmer pot starter base. And then you can add in from there. You then bring it to a simmer and you let it simmer for hours. Of course, you check on it frequently and you fill it up with water once it gets low. And then by the time you're done with it, trust me, everything in there is like disintegrated and ooky and gross. You'll just want to throw away what's left. But it's a great way to use scraps, fruit scraps, maybe like herbs that have gone stale. It's just a great way to like make use of that final oomph of an ingredient. Michelle says, simmer pots are great. I just grab a lot. Oh, she just goes through the explanation. Yes, you can also add in essential oils as well. It's a great way to just bring in and use up a lot of ingredients that you might be wanting to use up. We had someone ask earlier this week what to do with leftover tea. I think it's a great way to use leftover tea as well. Now let's talk some ingredients. So you can use orange. So this is from thevalkyriemystic.com. You can use orange slices for prosperity and abundance, cinnamon for purification, cloves for cleansing, rosemary for protection, star anise for intuition and psychic awareness, juniper berries for clairvoyance, and bay laurel leaves for healing and love. And I think that is just a great, I don't even think you need to worry too much about what you're putting in there. Just use what you've got, and using your intention will be enough. So let me tell you how I kind of stumbled upon the simmer pot. And again, I still don't know how the witch community got a hold of it. I'm not saying it was me. I'm just saying I did not hear about it until I did it. Basically, I was on like I was in the cleaning community, and cleaning communities will use it as like a natural potpourri, right? And so when people would ask me about like cleansing and like purification of the space, I would always say, you know, you do your whole shebang, you physically clean, you energetically clean, you do your little ritual around the house, you know, but then you can use simmer pots to bring in what you want. And it's a great way to do it after a cleansing, after like a weekly or monthly home cleanse. And I would let it go all day. And it was basically a part of my cleaning routine and my cleansing routine. And it kind of stumbled into the world of witchcraft. All right, witches. So we are wrapping up this episode of the Witch Daily Show. We do have some shout outs. First off, Molly Higgins. Molly, you sparkling Arcadian sunset. Jess Jensen. Jess, you sweet, hospitable seer. Josephine, you badass, dapper garden nymph. And then finally, Kim Dunn. Kim, you fair, sweet, fae queen. Thank you for so much for being Patreon supporters. I really appreciate it. It really helps us do this podcast. Full transparency, this podcast definitely costs more to do than it brings in, but it is a labor of love. And every time you guys, add to the Patreon, you help balance those scales. So it means a lot. So we do have a card pull today. Our card today is Karusar. from the Metaphysical Cannabis Oracle deck. This being is the sum of the cards that came before. She carries the wand of Fry, the veil behind the witch doctor, the snake belt from the manifester, the jewelry chains of the Sarki, and the Sphinx's union. This is a card for the sign of Cancer, which helps us learn how to use our power of the mind in disciplining emotions. The main message is, do not give up. If this card has come to you, maybe ask yourself, what is the outcome I am seeking? Do I have the self-confidence to ride this wave? Am I being distracted from my true passions by people or energies I need to cut out? Do I need to release a past relationship or learned pattern? All right, witches. That's all I've got for you today. Don't forget any books, decks, headlines, sources. All this stuff that we talked about today can be found in the podcast episode description or witchpod.com. And we will talk again next week.
Witches, we hope you have a wonderful day, full of joy and gentleness and confidence. Links for this week's episodes, our website, Patreon, along with a free daily card pull can be found at witchpod.com. One stop for everything we talk about. Now, take one more deep breath and have a great day.
I had an abortion when I was 15 years old in my home state of Arizona in 1994. It was not a decision that I made lightly, but I have never for one moment doubted that it was the right decision for me. But so much has changed in Arizona and many other states since then. If I were that same 15-year-old in Arizona today, legally, I would have to get parental consent. I would be forced to undergo a medically unnecessary ultrasound, go to a state-mandated in-person counseling session designed solely to shame me into changing my mind, and then take a state-mandated 24-hour time out to make sure I really know what I wanted. And finally, I would be forced to give the state a reason why. Well, here is mine. It is my body, not the state's. Women and their doctors are the ones that are in the best position to make informed decisions about what is best for them. No one else. No bill that criminalizes abortion will stop anyone from making this incredibly painful decision. These bans will not stop abortion from happening, but they will drive women and girls and people into the shadows, which is what this has always been about, shaming and controlling women's bodies. In the week after I shared my story on my show, women were coming up to me in the street, in the supermarket, at my gym, with tears in their eyes, thanking me for my bravery. But the word brave didn't sit right with me. Why is it brave to speak to an experience that millions of people around the world throughout history have gone through? And then I realized it is considered brave because as women, we have been taught to feel shame about our bodies since birth. I am so sad that we have to sit here in front of a row of politicians and give deeply personal statements because the why doesn't matter. It should not matter. I am a human being that deserves autonomy in this country that calls itself free, and choices that a human being makes about their own bodies should not be legislated by strangers who can't possibly know or understand each individual circumstances or beliefs. I'm here today to help destigmatize a legitimate medical procedure and continue to encourage women not to allow themselves to be shamed for their choices. And finally, I am here today for my two little girls, Birdie and Cricket. My dream for them is that they will live in a world in which women are truly equal with complete control over their own reproductive health. That is the dream I hold for all people, regardless of their privilege or parents or what state they live in. That dream is slipping further and further from reality with every ban passed. I hope that you, our elected leaders, can help us reverse the tide. Thank you. I look forward to today's discussion.